keep it real simple, keep it real simple.
I don't even know if y'all can appreciate that. Mo tearing that guitar up, son. Jody on those vocals. Dude, give it up for this band one more time. Come on, son. Horn section. Hey, listen, man, we are so thankful that you're here. We're so thankful that you're watching online. We are in a series all about peace, and I'm going to be straight with you. This is going to be a difficult one, all right? I've already gone through it one time. Some of them may have hung around from the early hour to come back because I told them 11 o'clock could get real crunk. So they're like, I got to go see what happens. But I am speaking to myself, so as I walk through this, you may think, man, he is just talking right to me. I am being as transparent as I can, that when I sat down and wrote out all that we're going through and in the notes of what's happening, I am thinking of myself over and over and over again. So as we walk through, just remember that, and then I ask you, I challenge you to look at yourself, to examine where you are and go, all right, is this me? Is it not me? Because I have a feeling we could all use this lesson today. So if you're with me, let me hear you say, oh yeah, come on. Yeah. Perfect. All right, here's where we're starting. Kind of heavy. Romans 12, 18. Do the best you can. That means on you, all right? Not somebody else, on you, to live in peace with everyone. All right, so I looked up the word everyone in the Greek. That's the original translation. Guess what it meant? Everyone. It meant all people. So you go, well, what do you mean, Justin? All right. Republicans, that means Democrats. Democrats, that means Republicans. Y'all all right so far? You're like, oh my gosh, he brought up politics, brother. All right. Blacks, we're talking about the whites. Whites, we're talking about the blacks. I could go through every other group, but you know what I'm saying. Are you ready for this one? Gay, we're talking about the straight. Straight, we're talking about the gay. All right, we're going to the next. Cowboys, we're talking about saints. Saints, we're talking about cowboys. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, wait, I just went through the list. Did he say cowboys and saints? So here's the thing. Whatever group that you go, oh my gosh, not that. He didn't bring that up. Not them, not that. Listen. Do the best you can to live in peace with everyone. So let me ask you a question. Start it off right from the beginning. Are you doing the best that you can to live at peace with everyone? I mean, when you really evaluate your life, because this is what I have to ask myself. Remember, I'm talking to me as I'm sitting down. I even gave my notes to the life group, my life group this week. Passed out early and said, all right, guys, everybody walk through this because I'm struggling. And they're like, well, what? And I've handed them all the notes. Just one of them asked me this morning, are you going with all the notes that you handed us? Yes. He said, well, I'm going to be a prophet then and tell everybody what you're speaking on. I said, go ahead, because I'm still struggling with it. Because I'm going, I got to take the responsibility of me owning my part of it. And here is what I am discovering, and all you have to do is look at the world we live in, and it's pretty clear. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder, or no peace, and every kind of evil. Now, when I say that, you're going, well, what are you really talking about? Well, I'm going to translate it into something you can easily understand. Wherever there is chaos, there is a lack of peace because we all have huge egos. And you go, well, what do you mean, Justin? Well, I'm going to make it clear for you. Republicans, I'm right. Democrats, you're wrong. Democrats, we're right. Republicans, you're wrong. You could go through the whole list again. All you have to do is look at our culture right now and understand that there is chaos. There is a lack of peace, and the main reason why is because of our egos. And what we do, all of us, including me, we struggle with, I want my way. I don't care about your way because you're wrong. I want my way. As a matter of fact, we even think this is the American way now. So what do? We holler, We scream. We fight for it. We get ugly. We throw words. All kinds of things. All you have to do is know that in our culture, it's real. And all of you are going, no, dude, I get it. Well, let me keep reminding you, because I don't want you to miss this. You've probably seen the news. You've seen images like this. There's riots. For everything that we have talked about, there are rallies. There are all these different things. Most of the time, not very peaceful. The news has made it very clear that when you see an ego gets involved, then chaos erupts. And it's not about living at peace with one another. It's about being right, and you're wrong. Now, you don't have to look very much further to lighten it up a little bit to go into politics a little bit more. And y'all know in the history of Simple Church, I'm not a political guy, but this is going to poke fun at both sides. So no matter what side you're on, you're going to be like, no, yeah, I get it. Because as we sat down and looked at, when you talk about this no peace and chaos, you will see it very clearly when you watch this next video. Now, it's a little funny, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's not made up. These are actual video clips from our people. Watch.
As we start to look at this, this
is
a...
The gentleman yields?
No, I will not yield.
Here we go again.
I don't think it's right to hold her to a different standard.
Gentleman, yield?
I will to my friend.
Let me be
not clear. To suggest the other person was not my friend.
Yeah, thanks a whole heck of a lot, yeah. Mr. Meadows.
The gentleman yield? Bad.
No, if I did, I would already tell you. You already had your time to talk.
This red and
Mr. Chairman, I object.
I will begin by recognizing
Mr.
myself.
Chairman, I object.
Today, the judiciary...
Mr. Committee... Chairman, I object to waiving the reading.
What about the napkins? What about the soap to wash your hands? Where does it stop?
This has been a difficult and contentious week in which darker spirits seem to have been at play.
Strangled this baby in the crib.
I now cast out all spirits of darkness from this chamber.
Talking about
mention my name, I was hoping the gentleman
I said
would
I wasn't going to yield to you. You can shut up, man.
I cast out the spirit of petty divisiveness.
The heck with it. Tear him up.
So that any spirit of darkness might have no place in our midst.
Are you a fan of Taylor Swift?
Are
you Swifty?
What? I'm not sure what's going on, but I object.
All right, it's just a little clip, just to remind you. As I sat down and looked at this week, I'm like, now does that just radiate peace as you watch it? Of course not. I mean, the culture they're in right now is at each other. Will you yield? I'm not going to yield. Shut up. I'm not doing that. Boom, boom. Both sides at each other, both Republicans, Democrats. Even the prayer ain't working. Okay? So let me ask you about your house now. Let me ask you about your place of work. When you walk in, is it peaceful? Or is ego driving everything, whether that's yours or a boss or another coworker or another family member? And so we're all longing for peace, but everywhere we look, from our home to our government to our cities to our neighborhoods, no peace. Now, here is what I am working on. Are you ready? You can't change them. You have to focus on changing you. And so when I'm honest with myself and I look in the mirror, I am part of the problem. I am the one who can get riled up. I'm the one that can think I'm right. I'm the one who has an opinion, and I want to demand my way. I'm the one that can be selfish. I'm the one that can do all kinds of things that don't honor God in the name of, well, I'm just trying to say. Y'all know how it is. And then you start going, and the next thing you know, it leads to a very dark, difficult, chaotic, unpeaceful place. So James continues. James chapter 3, remember, Jesus' brother walks with him, hangs with him. He begins to say, let me help y'all out. This is what I saw with my brother. This is what happened when he walked into circumstances and situations. Let's make a list. The wisdom that comes from heaven, because he had seen Jesus, he had walked with Jesus. He understood what had come from heaven. He said, first of all, it's pure and full of quiet gentleness. So when I take an inventory of my life and they go, is Justin just a quiet, gentle man? Why are y'all laughing? That's offensive. No, I'm not. I mean, this is the whole thing. It's just like, am I pure? I try to be, but don't you laugh at that one. Because we all know. It's like, man, no, I didn't got that. And then it comes on. Then it is peace, loving, and courteous. If you're going to kind of have an inventory, quiet, gentle, peace-loving, courteous, pure, it keeps on going on. Then as it moves on, it says it allows discussion and is willing to yield to others. That's why I pulled the clip. Is that not funny? No, I'm not yielding to you. You shut up. I have a point to make. You need to listen. I'm going to do it. It's their culture. Workplaces, home, friendships, Facebook, anger, frustration, which leads to no peace. It doesn't allow for discussion. Hey, let's talk about that. Man, I don't know. I don't know about this, or I'm working through that, or I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't understand, or I'm trying to understand. No, we don't. It's just like fighting, arguing, pointing the finger. I ain't talking to you. I'm not attending that church no more. I'm not even going to listen to that. I'm just going to find people who agree with me, and we'll circle up and call everyone else the enemy. Because we can't be the enemy. It must be all of them. It's full of mercy and good deeds. Like, evaluate your life. All right, so if we're doing a funeral this week and it's your funeral, am I going to get up and go, man, so-and-so is so full of mercy, good deeds, quiet, gentle, peace, love. Man was always willing to yield to others. Man was willing to discuss and try to work through things. Wholehearted, straightforward, sincere. And then he kind of closes with this. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace, and they will reap a harvest of goodness. So look at your life, and you think right now, in your workplace, in your relationships, on Facebook, in your community, are you one that is posting things to aggravate people? To boost up your ego, to make it seem like you're right and they're wrong? And maybe you are the one that is causing some of the chaos. As you walk through there, are you one that's planting seeds of peace so that one day we can reap peace? Because this is scripture. This ain't like me making stuff up. This is not just a good book we've read. This is not a theory. This is God's word. James, the brother of Jesus, walking around and going, let me tell you, fellas, what we got to do here. This is what it should look like. That when we walk into a scene, when we walk into a workplace, a home, a community, that list should be us. Well, this past week was a difficult week. As I'm writing the notes for this message, Brian Reed bangs on my door because sometimes I'll have headphones in or I'm listening. I'm trying to get everything written out. And I'm struggling with it because I'm not here. I'm working that. I want to be there, but I'm not. I'm like, man, I got to work on this. I don't know. So I hear the door, finally I turn around and Brian goes, hey man, did you get the phone call? And I'm like, what phone call? And he's like, Putt is trying to call you right now. I'm like, man, what are you talking about? He was like, they found a dead body on his piece of property. He needs you now. I'm like, a dead body? He's like, now. I jump in my truck and I start driving. So before I even go on, think of your place of business. Think of your home. Think of where you live. And if all of a sudden, what happened in her circumstance, a man is mowing the grass and comes up on a 17-year-old body, tragically murdered. You think there's peace, or do you think there's chaos? When I get to the scene and pull in, Putt said, come pray with my employees because it's chaotic. Everyone has questions. Everyone is worried. Everybody's concerned. The community is gathering in the streets. The police are setting up the perimeter. And you've probably seen the news. The girl's been missing for 6 days at this point. A mom has been weeping for her child. The worst of the worst is happening. And all I can think when I'm pulling up to Putts, you better be an agent of peace in this situation. He don't know my notes. He don't care about my notes. He's worried about his business, his employees, this family, this community. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my Lord, you can't get a better. What seed will I plant today? And as I pull up, I see my friends from Bossier City. Bossier City Police Department, Police Department's there. Bomb Squad is there. Shreveport is there, of course, the homicide unit, CIT unit, I mean the criminal investigations unit is there, the FBI is coming. All of these people are gathering. Caddo sheriffs are there. And I want you to just give them a round of applause for one reason. Because when everybody says we can't get along and that's one city versus the other city and nobody helped, I saw the direct opposite. I saw units working together to solve a horrific crime, and they partnered together and said, whatever I got to do, let's work together to solve it. And I think that deserves a round of applause to let them know, dude, thank you for coming together. And guess what? Black officers, white officers, young, old, Hispanic. No one cared about any of all the junk that you've seen on TV. No one cared about whether you picketed them or you didn't. Defund or not fund. All the stuff, all that's out. The only thing that mattered was that a 17-year-old had been tragically murdered and they found it and they want to get to the bottom of it. And how can we help? So we do whatever we got to do to come together. And in that moment, I see my friend Putt, lifelong friend. We've traveled around the world. We've gone on mission trips all over. Faithful giver to this church. And I say that because some people come, but man, this guy's been committed not just in serving, but his wife serves every week in the children's. They are committed in every form, and he's broken. Because his business, unbeknownst to any one of us in here, has now been rocked. And people are saying stuff, which I'm telling you, Jesus, help me and take the wheel. When you start saying stuff you don't know what you're talking about, you're not an agent of peace. So if you think that that is a good thing, come on, man. And whatever you do, don't call yourself a Christian, please. Because the world is looking, and when you cause more chaos and more hurt and put more falsehoods out there, you're hurting everyone. But most importantly, the one that you call your Father, your Savior. And so he's going, man, how do I deal with this? And what am I going to do? And I'm like, shh, Putt. So last night, it culminated after a week of trouble and stirring and upset and trying to figure it all out. No peace. Putt calls me and he says, I just want to talk to the mom. I want to take her some flowers. Well, I call some black pastor friends of mine. I call Wendell Holmes, who is, again, Bossier Bomb Squad. I said, Wendell, do you know a way I can get a hold of Miss Little? I don't know how this is going to work. And here are two white guys showing up at Miss Little's house. Unbeknownst to her, not knowing what's going on, I just call and say, hey, Miss Little, I got this phone number. We're in the neighborhood. Can we come by and bring you some flowers and pray with you? You know what she says? Come on, baby. Come on. So when you have something in your mind of, oh, it's them, or oh, it's that neighborhood, let me tell you something. Be real careful, Christian. Because I'm going to tell you, we were worried. So if you go, oh, what do you say? Well, I'm telling you, sometimes I'm like, all right, Putt, we're going in. You know, I don't know. We're just going in. He's like, man, I'm going to call, but I don't know if she's going to be receptive. I don't know if she's going to receive. I don't know what's going to happen. And as we knocked on her door and she answered that door and we handed her flowers and we prayed with her on her porch, peace. Had we solved it? Have we fixed it? No, but we had an opportunity in that moment to be an agent of peace, to sow a seed of peace, so that one day, hopefully, we can harvest or reap an unbelievable harvest of good things out of something that's horrific. Last night, Brian Reed, Wendell Holmes, and Putt, I had a wedding I had to attend, so I couldn't be there. They had a balloon release. And Brian told me, as they all gathered, what you saw was the enemy tries, man. There tries to be a little uprising of, let's get this thing in chaos, and all of a sudden, peace overrides the circumstance and situation. And they begin to cry and pray and release these balloons. Why do I say all of this? Because you see it in the news, and you make a comment, or you talk to your kid, or you talk about at work one thing, and it may not be the truth. But what we have the opportunity to do, and what I am learning more than ever, is that our responsibility from the Word of God is to be an agent of peace. To let your ego go, what you think is right, what they think, you can't change that. You're not going to do that. You only control you. So when you read this long list of scriptures of be gentle and quiet and, you know, this whole idea of what somebody's going to look, man, did a hippie write that? Y'all think that this cat right here wrote it. He's like, hey, man, that's what it's about. No, this is the brother of Jesus. James wrote this. And the reason that he wrote it, he was saying, listen, he was like, listen, if this ain't you, then you're not like Jesus. Well, some of you are going, well, brother, I don't even know. I don't even know if I can. That ain't me. I mean, I don't know if I can do all that. Well, listen, then please stop calling yourself a Christian. Because a Christian is supposed to be Christ-like. It's not supposed to have a political party affiliated with it. It's not supposed to be for a certain color of people or a certain race of people. It's not to be for the wealthy or for the poor. It is to be Christ-like. So unfortunately in church, which is unbelievable to me, that the church has now got in and we're causing more division and more unrest, not peace. By saying what we think and this is what we need to do and blah, blah, blah. If you read the New Testament, which I'm trying and I'm telling you I'm not there yet, I'm telling you we got a long way to go. Because for the record, being Christ-like is not easy. Can I get an amen? But it's very important. I'm at the wedding last night. Kid that grew up in the student ministry that me and Bobby and all of us were around. Great kid. He struggled with addiction for a long time. And as we're talking last night at the wedding, we're kind of walking around, hanging out or whatever. He looks at me and he goes, hey, man, I want you to know that I don't really believe in Christianity. I'm not sure that's my, I have a higher power, but I'm not sure Christianity's in. And I said, no, I don't blame you. I hear you. So first he's like, pastor? I said, no, I don't blame you because I'm going to tell you what, if I'm looking at who's claiming to be a Christian now and the way they're treating people and the things they're saying, I don't think I want to be a Christian. It's true. And so here's what I told him, and this is what I'm going to tell you. I'm the guy in the lights. I'm the guy that God said, all right, here it is, Justin. Here's your opportunity. What you going to do? I said, let me just tell you this, buddy. Keep your eyes on Jesus and take it off of the church if we have to. Because unfortunately, the church, we're struggling really following Jesus. We're real hung up in a lot of junk that don't matter. And when we start getting hung up in all of that, all of a sudden the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, the most beautiful, amazing person who has ever lived, who walked in peace, when they cussed at him and they spit on him at the cross, what did he say, y'all? I'm going to come back and get every one of y'all. No. They said he didn't say anything. And then when he's hanging on the cross and they're all coming at him, he says, Father, forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. Peace. That's who we follow. So let me go ahead and go next level. You ready? You're like, well, good Lord, Justin, is this? Yeah, I'm going next level, Romans 12. Do you want to tell you it's not easy? Wish only good for those who treat you badly. How's your ex-wife doing? How's your ex-husband? That, hold on. How's that boss doing that fired you for no reason? How's the one who got promoted when you're the one that really got taken advantage of? How's that professor that failed you when you did the very best you could and you thought you did it right and he just wanted to prove a point? How are you and him doing? Ask God to bless them, not curse them. Did I mention that ex-wife in there? Oh, live together in peace with each other. What do your kids see you doing? What do they hear you saying? With your coworkers, with your family. See, this is where you can talk all the trash. Brother, I go to blah, 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 blah church, but I live like the devil. Follow me, brother. Want to come to our cantata? You're like, come on, man. Wish only good. Bless them. Don't be proud. Remember when I told you about ego? I got it. You got it. This is why I'm struggling. I'm writing all this out. Remember, I'm in my office going, dude, you're so far from this, Justin. Don't be proud. Be willing to be friends with people who are not important to others. This is why I thank you, Putt, for going, I got to go talk to the mama. This is why I thank you for when everybody in the PR-wise, I don't know that I'll have a balloon release on our property. That may not look right. Forget all that. I'm here to be an agent of peace. Well, you know, they could come and it could get really crazy. There could be a big fight and everybody. I'm here to do what I can do. And I'm going to let them do them, but I'm going to ask the Father who created me, who calls me to act like this, to say, Jesus, be involved in every detail. God, help me be an agent of peace when nothing else. Help me to be friends with people who are not important to others. This is why some neighborhoods are more important than others. This is why some groups of people get more credit than others. And Jesus is saying, James is writing, now Paul is writing, going, hey, man, don't forget this whole thing, y'all. This is who we're supposed to be. Now, this was written thousands of years ago and amazingly applies today. This is the Bible, y'all. We might want to read it. And then once we read it, go, all right, Lord, help me to live it. Don't think of yourself smarter than everyone else. How many times do you get in an argument? Shall I go the vaccine route? Oh, you're smarter. Oh, you know. Should I go, whether you're for it or against it, we're going to argue and you need blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, does it give everybody peace? Is your workplace, is your home, is your Facebook, is your life full of peace? If someone does you wrong, you ready for this? Don't try to pay them back by hurting them. This next line trips me out. Don't try to do what everyone thinks is right. Just try to do that. Don't think that you can't. No, I'm telling you, try to do what makes peace with people. Do the best you can to live in peace with everyone. Let's all keep it real. Remember, I'm taking all these notes out and I'm going, Justin, is this you? I got to work on this. I print the notes I give to my life group. I'm like, y'all, we can talk and we can do all this, but we got to hold each other accountable to it. We talk bad. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't say that. We shouldn't think this. God, help us. Help us to be like you. God, change me, change me, change me. Because let's keep it real, it's easy to speak good of those that you like. It's easy to surround yourself with people who look like you, who agree with you. And you say, you know what, let's just all huddle up. I don't even want to think about it. They're all the bad guys. I can't believe that's happening. They're all horrible. They're horrible. It's easy to curse your enemies. This is why we do it right now. And here's the thing, don't we all love revenge? This pastor does. I'm a sinner like you. So my favorite movies, it won't surprise you. Here's my list. When I saw Denzel Washington just putting a hurt on somebody, I'm going, yeah. Why? Because it's revenge. I like that. When they hurt John Wick's dog, take him out, John Wick. Somebody get your dog, take all. You see it, Revenant? Remember, the like, it's revenge. We're like, man, that's a good movie. Academy Award. Academy Award. Unforgiven. Why? Because, dude, there's something in us. Matter of fact, I pulled a clip from one of my favorite videos ever, my favorite movie ever. Why? Because I'm a sinner. You go, you ain't the sinner, brother. Oh, yeah, I am. Here's my favorite clip. Watch.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
I have a certain set of skills.
You know, and I know, America loves it. It's top-selling movies. That's why you love watching the news. That's why when it's on your side, you're going, get them, get them, get them. It's on the other side. And here's the thing. And God's word says, not if you're my kid. Philippians 2. Whatever you do, whatever I do, whatever you do. Don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Well, it's just, I mean, I'm going to do me. I mean, I got to do, okay. But be humble and honor others more than yourself. Is it still about you? Church is about you? Well, you know, I don't go to Simple Church anymore because I'm a little bit higher now. I'm a smart martyr. I've got things fair. Good. Oh, well, they're just not that, and they don't need this, and I'm telling you, what we just need to do is, I'm telling you, this whole thing, if we'll just do this, because we're so smart, if they would do what I think, things would be so much better. The nation would be better, our neighborhoods would be better. I am that smart. Romans 12:1, Paul comes back. So I beg you, I am begging you, because of the great mercy that God has shown us, because he's been full of mercy and full of grace, offer your life as a living sacrifice to him. Do you know what that means? That means you die to what you want, to what you like, to what you think every day, every moment. And then when you do that, that is true worship. Now I'm going to go ahead and put a phrase on the screen that every church in the area, I told you they're a cult. I know it. Worship is not the songs we sing. It really is, according to the New Testament, the life we live. So when I've done Christian music for a big portion of my life, and I've sung a lot of songs, why do I get so passionate? Why am I so frustrated? Why do I need to work on my peace in this area? Because it frustrates me that the American church thinks that songs are going to change the world. When the reality is Jesus is telling us, all the writers of the New Testament are going, listen, you got a lot of good songs. The problem is you ain't living it. So get a worship album, go to the concert, raise your hands, and then walk out and cuss the person that cut you off, and cuss the Democrat or the Republican or the black or the Hispanic or whatever, or the gay. Oh, my God. Then you think then, I'm just worshiping the Lord, brother. And Jesus is going, no, I'm telling you, do everything that you can to live at peace with the people you like. Oh, no, no, everyone. Everyone. So that anger and that hurt and that bitterness, let me tell you something, this is what happens. Most of the time, Christians want to be right so bad that as a result, we hurt a lot of people. Think about it. And as I'm writing all these notes out, I've put my life into worship. We have one horrible album out there. If you hear it, please burn it. Don't send it to me. Don't say you heard a song. The guys that helped write it, they'll be like, well, we had one good song on there. Maybe there's one good song in there. But my point being this, the world may never hear our songs. They don't listen to Christian radio. They ain't tuning into K-Love driving around. But they will see your life when you show up to work tomorrow. When you walk in the school, they didn't hear your song. Now, if the song helps you to live more like Christ, absolutely listen to it. Turn it up and put it in and blast it. But here's my experience. I told you when we were in South Alabama, we were leading a conference doing worship. And we're at a pretty big Baptist church. And a bunch of white guys in a band playing rock and roll, ironically, have a black minister that's going to speak. His name is Dwight Singleton. Amazing evangelist. And as we're getting ready to kick off the songs, all the church was so glad to see us. Come on in, brother. Out there smoking her cigarettes for the break, for the service. Come on in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been there. Come on in. And then they see a black guy get out of the car, and they say, hold up. He ain't coming in here. This is in my lifetime. They loved our songs. They wanted us to keep singing, but as soon as a man of color stepped on, they're not going to be welcome. We're not sure we're moving on. They're going to have a deacon meeting. You don't know why I get frustrated with the church? You don't know why a Simple Church exists and why I don't want you to be like any other church? I want us to do the very best we can to be like Jesus, because I can tell you, if Jesus was there, he ain't going, hold up, he's a man of color. He can't be in our pulpit. And so the only thing we could do is a bunch of young, stupid rock musicians were like, dude, you ain't, if he ain't on the stage, we ain't on the stage. And let me tell you something, just for the record, the same has to happen in 2021. If as a Christian you don't stand up for those who are being mistreated, or you don't stand up for those that are abused, what are you doing? If you can't be an agent of going, wait a second, let's talk about this. Let's get to the resolve. And by the grace of God Almighty, we got to the place where he could speak. And they let their guard down, not by fighting and being ugly. We just said, hey, listen, man, if he ain't on, we're not on. Because, man, that's our friend. We didn't break out our guns or our Glocks. He's in the pulpit today, brother. No. We went and prayed. And you know what? And Greg's back there and Daniel's back. They will tell you. And we saw God do something that day that we ain't never seen. Some of those people walked the aisle. And let me tell you something. You ain't got to walk an aisle. If you want to, sure, go ahead. But let me tell you what's really about. It's about wherever you're sitting, making a determination to go, I ain't being like that no more. That ain't who I'm going to be. Jesus, change me. Help me to be an agent of peace. Regardless of the way you were raised, regardless of what you thought was right, what does God's word teach us about how we treat each other? How are we supposed to live? What are we supposed to be when we walk out in this community? Chaos? Disruptors? Distractors? Angry, hurtful, mean, vindictive people? Look in the scripture. Now, if you're ready for one more, I don't know if you can handle it, because I can barely handle it. I already told you, I've been tripping this whole week on this one. 2 Timothy 2:23. Excuse yourself from any conversations that turn into foolish and uninformed debates, because you know they only provoke fights. Shall I go vaccine one more time? Your opinion, you're right, you know, my mama told me, my wife's smarter than any doctor, blah, 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 on either side. But let's be honest. All we're trying to do is stir it up. Oh, you got, no, you can't, they ain't, you can't, this ain't. Here's the thing, why don't we just go, hey, listen, let me step out of this one. Excuse yourself. Hey, man, I don't. Why? Because now I have done this. I got in a fight over this with a good friend. Matter of fact, putt. And I'm sorry. Honestly, I go, man, I'm burdened that that's the way I act, that I let it rile me up for no reason. The best thing, the smart thing, the Jesus thing was to excuse myself. Because the last thing he wants is for us to fight with each other. Let me tell you this. Write this down. Jesus was very clear. It's not about being right. It's about being loving. If you don't get anything else, remember that. You can write yourself right out of a lot of great relationships. I'm right, you're wrong. Wives, kids, friends, coworkers, community. Ephesians 4:2, be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Let me tell you about putt. We forgave each other. We love each other. Hey, man, let's move on. Come on, let's all, come on, hug it on in there. KVKI, son, let's bring it on in. Why? Because, hey, listen, I got to be patient. That's my bad, man. That's on me. John 13:35, all people will know that you're my followers by gun-toting, Bible-raising, hell-raising. That's how they're going to know. When you stand up and fight for your right, that's how they're going to know. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's not it. Love each other. By the way that you love each other. Now, why do I say this? I've told you I'm speaking to myself. I've raised in the same community you've been raised in. I had the same struggles you have. I walked through wanting to be in the flesh and going, Jesus, help me to be different. God, don't let me be that guy. God, don't let me be like that. I want to be like you, Jesus. 1 Peter, above all. I looked that up in the Greek, and once again, guess what it meant? All. Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Above everything else, love. And so for the record, this peace and love thing, the hippies, they weren't the first. They copied Jesus. Some of you get hung up because you think these guys wrote the scripture. They didn't. They just copied Jesus. And maybe you and I should do the same thing. Maybe we should copy Jesus. Now, if you don't know and you really don't understand what I'm talking about, just start reading the New Testament. You won't see revenge. You will see the opposite. You won't see take advantage of your enemies and get them back. You'll see love your enemies. You can't find it when Jesus walked this planet. He said, guy, there's a new testament. There's a new covenant. There's a new way. And he says, and when you follow my way, there's something attached to it. Matthew 5:9, are you ready for this? God blesses. I don't know about you, but I want that blessing. Those people who make peace, because they'll be called his children. You know what that means? When you get to heaven, he goes, that's my boy. Man, that's my girl. Because when they were in the middle of the chaos, all they did was extend peace, love to the people who desperately needed it. And I'm telling you, am I there? No. You're looking at a sinner who's working on it and going, Jesus, help me. But as a church, as a group of believers, if you're trying to figure out where we're going and what we're going to do and how we're going to change the world, it ain't going to be through, my God, you're going to do this. It's by loving and being peaceful and doing everything we can to let them see Jesus in us. Not an agenda, not a denomination, not a political party, not a race, to let them see Jesus. So let me ask you something. Who do you need to make peace with today? He can't be talking about my ex-wife. He can't be talking about that boss. He can't be talking about that group of people. Don't cuss them. Don't be too proud. Don't think you're smarter. Don't try to hurt them. Just do your best. Just do your best to live at peace with them. And if they don't receive it and it don't get better, just know you're planting that seed. And that seed will grow into a harvest. That ain't Justin talking. That's real talk from Jesus, from the followers that walked with him, from the ones that saw him in the way that he was treated and mistreated, in the way that they saw Jesus walk into a Samaritan village when everybody said, don't go there. That's that group of people. Jesus says, I have to go to Samaria. When it's Matthew, the one that's caught up in sin and stealing and robbing from the Jewish people, he looks at Matthew and says, hey, Matthew, come on, man, you're my boy. You can't be picking Matthew. No way, man. This dude's a thief. No, I want him. You think through the life of Jesus. That's the calling for us. Not just coming to church. Not just, well, I felt good about that. I like the second song. The first one, I thought he was a little pitchy. You know, he could have been a little better on that one. Oh, the donuts were a little stale today, honey. Did you notice that they were a little slimy? Because we all know I've been there just like you've been there. Last little bit of advice. Being offended is inevitable. You may be going, I'm offended today, brother. It was bound to happen sometime, but let me go ahead and give you the rest of it, right? But living offended, that's your choice. You don't have to walk out of here and go, well, no, you got to say, all right, what am I needing to learn? God, what do you need me to do? How can I apply this to my life? Because that's what this dude's doing. Ask my life group. Ask my family, my friends. I'm working through it. I am not there, probably just like you're not. But I want peace. Not a funny shirt, not a hippie sign, but I want Jesus' peace. Now, if you need some examples, I'm going to end with this. I got two. First hour, only got one, but you get bonus. Can I get an amen on that? It's because I'm 6 minutes ahead, and I figure I can give them to you. Two examples. First one, how do you get peace? Notice as well as we go into this clip, these are some ones you've seen before, but notice her worship. Notice that it's from a place of peace. It's because she's lived her life in such a way that it's not an empty song. It's the truth. Watch.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me.
He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20 and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice,
He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you?
I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close, they are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself. And I'm still growing towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
I don't know about you. I don't know where you are or what you would do in that situation, but I don't know that I could do that. But I want to be able to. And this is the challenge. This is why only through Jesus can you have the power, the strength to possibly do it. And then your worship is genuine. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Comes from a genuine deep place. Does she look at peace? Any woman that can look at peace ironing is definitely knowing Jesus. Can I get amen now, right? She just, man, it's all good. And I got one more. This one's going to be rougher. You go, that's bad English. It's just a fact, though. So hang on. Peace. We've seen chaos. We've seen division. Peace. Watch.
Even though this neighborhood in Somerville, South Carolina is predominantly black, no one really noticed when Annie Cadell moved in 7 years ago.
Because I love the house.
At least, as we reported a few months ago, no one really noticed at first.
When she came here, she seemed to be very nice.
Until?
A little while later, she started putting up Confederate flags.
And so began a very public fight. When the neighbors protested in front of her house, Annie invited counter-protesters to stand in her yard. When the neighbors put up walls on both sides of her property to block the view, Annie put up a taller flagpole.
Once you get my hackles raised, I don't back down.
Eventually, the war settled into a stalemate of sorts. There were no more marches, no bigger walls, no taller flagpoles. Just a quiet bitterness on both sides. Until Annie had a change of heart, quite literally.
When you have a heart attack and you're being told you're not going to live very long, you're facing your mortality. I needed to clean up the messes that I made by being so stubborn.
She started with one of her fiercest critics, director of the local community resource center, Lewis Smith.
And she said, I have decided to take down the flag. I said, huh?
Not long after, she presented him with the flag.
And Miss Annie, we thank you.
Annie says before her health scare, she only saw the Confederate flag through her eyes as a way to honor relatives who fought for the South. But after, she says that argument seemed so petty.
Can we get people to be less stubborn without the heart attack part?
That would be lovely, but sometimes it takes a serious action to happen to you before you see your actions on others.
Since this story first aired, things have only gotten better. Last month, Annie's neighbors returned the favor by taking down the walls.
Hallelujah, the fence is down. Thank you, Miss Annie.
I feel like they welcomed me with open arms today. I have never felt so much love and care.
In America, some people love to build walls. But if this one block of this great country shows us anything, it's that we love tearing them down even more. Steve Hartman, on the road in Somerville, South Carolina.
Thank you.
We'll come together.
Peace. Ego keeps us from that. Pride keeps us from that. I know some of you already, you're like, man, let's just let Jesus work on us. I'm asking you, go back and look at these notes, go look them up yourself, work through them and say, Jesus, change me. Because I can tell you, this preacher, he's still asking God to do the same thing. Father, I come to you right now and I ask you to continue to work on me, to continue to change me, to continue to help me. For someone who's never given their life to you, Lord, I pray today they would, not to church, not to denomination, but to the person of Jesus. And as we do that, Jesus, I pray for me that I would continue to follow you every day, that I'd look more into what you say and how I should act and the way that I should treat people, as opposed to what I think or what I was raised with or what I believe. Help me, God, to see things the way you see them. Help me to know that your word is true and apply it to the circumstances and situations. Lord, this world's got a lot of chaos, a lot of ego, a lot of pride. And God, you tell us to do everything that we can to be at peace with everyone. That's not easy. You know that. But you also tell us, God, in your word, that when you're inside of us, that you're greater than anything the world can throw at us. So help us not make excuses, not kind of halfway try, but help us, Jesus, in our relationships, in our community, in our workplaces, our schools, in our churches, that this would become reality, that we would not be known by the songs that we sing, but we'd be known by the way we live our lives in the world and by our love for one another and for this community and for being an agent of peace as you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere one time? Come on. Amen. All right. You better check your pulse because you're like, son, man, he went 2 minutes over and I'm about to get punch drunk out here, all right? I'm thankful you hang through there. We got another week of peace. You're like, good Lord, I don't know if I'm coming back. I may watch online. Either way, watch online, come back. If you want to be different, man, this is the place where we're working through it. I want to be different as well. So thank you for listening and working with us. Tell us on the communication card or something we can do or pray for you, however we can help you. I love y'all. I thank you. And until next week, what do we say? Peace. Let's try to live it.